So, Warwick, I'm coming round to your house for a dinner party, and I want 5 celebrities there. So who would you invite, dead or alive?
Yikes. Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, yeah.
good choice.
Yeah. He's in my top 5.
Johnny Depp.
Ooh, yeah, he's also in my top 5. This is going to be a good dinner party.
Edward Norton.
Oh, really?
Gee whiz. I should probably chuck a chick in there, shouldn't I?
Yeah. And what about someone, you know, like...
Hang on, this is my 5, not your 5.
Yeah, but I'm coming, so I want it to be good.
Robert De Niro.
Right.
And they're all dudes, aren't they, so far? You know why? Because whichever female I pick, I'm going to get beaten up about this when I get home to my wife. Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah, she's not bad.
Thanks.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show, helping you get off the tools and into true business ownership so you can spend more time doing the things that matter most. Now, here are your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark.
And welcome to another episode of the Tradies Business Show with myself, Michaela.
And Hollywood was.
You see, wish you could get Scarlett Johansson to bloody dinner with you.
I'm too tall for her. I think that would be the least of my worries. Anyway, g'day listeners. Welcome back to the show. Can we get serious now?
Well, if she asked you to bake her a big chocolate cake with heaps of icing and eat it with her, would you?
Can I have a moment, please?
Because Warwick hasn't had sugar in a long time, so I'm just trying to see the...
Could you see the struggle in my face? It was like...
You really were.
God, do I eat the sugar or do I say no to Scarlett Johansson?
Probably not a problem you're going to have to encounter in your life, but anyway.
And if you're listening, Scarlett, g'day. Be great to have you on the show. I'm sure some of our tradie listeners would like to hear your thoughts on business.
And... We're lucky today because we're hearing from Kelly's thoughts on business on the show today.
Could I be so bold as then anyway? Kelly Exeter. Pretty interesting chat today. Again, one of those interviews where I suppose I should stop doing this is coming in with preconceived ideas about who we're talking to on the show. But really good talk to Kelly, and I love her stuff. Mm. I'm a fan.
Yeah, she's a fan.
She's a fan. Is she a fan of the show?
She is, and she's a fan of mine.
So she loves your work. You just keep talking yourself up. Yeah. And how about we just play the interview? Do you reckon that'd be a good idea?
Well, firstly, we'll tell people about Kelly. We'll do the official stuff, Kelly, you know. She's the editor of Flying Solo.
Yes.
Australia's largest community of small business owners. She also writes a blog at A Life Less Frantic.
Sounds good to me.
And also has a book called
Your best year yet.
It's got moved from my desk for all of a sudden.
It was there a second ago. This is why it's good to have a co-host, because we can cover for each other.
That's it. Let's just get into it.
All right. Sounds good.
And welcome to the show, Kelly.
Hello, Michaela. Hello, Warwick.
G'day, Kelly. Good to have you on the show.
Now, it's good to hear your voice again, my drinking buddy from the Philippines. I know that a couple of episodes ago we talked about what I learned at Tropical Think Tank, just so I can make out I actually did some work over there and can justify the trip. But Kelly and her wonderful husband were there as well, so we had a great week, didn't we?
We had an amazing week. Yeah, I'm still experiencing the re-entry. What is it? What are we, 3 weeks after the fact? it's a bit of a worry, isn't it?
It's been a tough one because I know we both have kids and coming back from spending, you know, 7-odd days in a 5-star resort just eating, drinking and swimming.
Okay.
I mean business education and development.
Yeah, well, I was here slaving away in the recording studio.
Yeah, learning and connecting.
So I've just got a question straight up, Kelly. So you took this poor guy called Ant that your book is dedicated to, and I love this. I'm going to read this out for the listeners. So you have to get a copy of Kelly's book. It's called Your Best Year Yet, which is a great title for a book. But you actually say in here that it's dedicated to Ant for being you and for loving me, even though I'm a massive pain in the ass. I love that.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah, what? It's his birthday tomorrow, actually, and I'll have to remind him of that dedication. Because, yeah, I am a massive pain in the ass, and he does put up with me very well. And so, yeah, I did think it was worth acknowledging in my first book.
So, Kelly, we didn't prep for this, so I'm going to drop this one on you, but what actually makes you a massive pain in the ass? Or is that too long a question to answer?
What makes me a massive pain in the ass?
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? I was thinking about this the other day because I've been in real writing mode all week because I've just had heaps of articles to produce. And do you know what? You don't want to be around a writer when they're in writing mode because they're so vague and they don't want to talk to you and they can't have a normal conversation because their mind's on, you know, the seven things that they're working on at the moment. So I think, yeah, anyone who is married to a writer is married to a massive pain in the ass because it can be quite painful.
I like it.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Aunt. I feel sorry for my kids. I try to be really present when I'm around them, but when I am in writing mode, it is. I don't want to be around myself, so I can only imagine what it's like to be them.
And I honestly think it's good to see a wife actually admit that she's a pain in the ass because, let's be honest, most of us are.
Oh, there we go.
Most of the time anyway. Uh-huh. So tell us a little bit about your background, Kelly.
Okay, so, wow, it's one of those ones, where do I start? I think I'll start around when I started. So I started, I'm a graphic designer. I go back to uni because that's where I met Ant. We both studied human movement at uni, which is sports science, and Anthony went on to be a teacher, a maths teacher, and I went on to become a graphic designer. So there you go. It's amazing where a sports science degree can take you. So in 2006 I went out on my own. So I'd been working for a marketing agency for 4 years as a graphic designer, and then in 2006 I went out on my own and started Swish Design, so my own graphic design business, and that grew quite quickly, almost from the word go. It was profitable and grew very quickly, and then in 2009 we had our first child. And that's when things got a bit stressful and a bit over the top because I hadn't set the business up to work without me in it. So, you know, my son was born on 31st of July and invoices needed to go out on the 1st of August. So that's what I was doing from hospital, much to my client's horror. So as you can imagine, 18 months later of, you know, trying to be a great mum, to a first-time mum to a newborn, and trying to be a good person and a good wife and all those things.
The list is very long.
Got a bit much. And it's kind of long. And I effectively had a bit of a breakdown. So I didn't want anything to do with the business anymore. I was ready to just walk away from it. And Aunt just happened to be on long service at the time from school. And he took over running things. Long story short, he did a much better job of running the business than I did. I'm a creative person. I don't, you know, I'm not really into numbers and managing people. And I just want to sit down and do my creative thing. So he took over, made the business profitable. It's been going really well. It's, you know, him taking over the business has allowed me to, you know, go back to being a designer, get back on, you know, get back with writing, which is something I've done my whole life, but kind of dropped off, you know, over the 10 years or so that I was at uni and starting the business. And so today I am, so last year I took on a role with flyingsolo.com.au. So it's Australia's largest online community for solo and micropreneurs as their editor, which is a bit of a dream role for me because, it, you know, it's editing, it's writing, it's on the topic of, you know, small business, which is something I'm very passionate about. And that's basically where I am today. So I still help Ant in the background with our business, but he does most of the heavy lifting. And, I get to spend my days really doing the stuff I love, which is quite magical, I have to say.
So, Kelly, what you're saying is you and Ant actually work together.
Yeah, we do. And for the most part, we're a pretty good team, for the most part.
What would you say is some of the secrets to that? Because a lot of our listeners are in business where they work with their spouse in different roles.
Yeah.
But what's what what's your secret to success of you and Ant actually still having a marriage after working together in the business?
Well, I have to say it was touch and go there for a while. Not that, you know, not so much on the marriage front, but it's funny because I took about 18 months right away from the business when we had our daughter a couple years ago. And left at just Ant to his completely his own devices to run things. And then I came back into the business last year and things got quite awkward because, of course, he was doing things the way that I wouldn't do them. And I was, you know, and I guess I was keen to show that, you know, I was valuable to this business. And, you know, there was a lot of fighting. There was a lot of not good stuff. And I guess essentially what it came down to in the end, first of all, we had to make sure that our roles were very clearly defined because it was very confusing for our staff as well because, you know, oh, my God, Kelly's come back in and who do we listen to now? And, oh, this is awkward. They're having a bit of a loud discussion in Anthony's office at the moment. And, you know, so we had to kind of become very clear about our roles and who kind of had veto rights over certain decisions. But I think Michaela mentioned this in her rundown of Tropical Think Tank. Kate Erickson gave a talk and she mentioned, because she works with her partner, John Lee Dumas, and she said, as long as your mission, vision and values and goals are aligned, you can make it work. And for Anthony and I, our core mission and vision for the business and for our family, which I think is important, I think you have to be on the same page, both for where you want the business to go, but also for the life you want to lead for your family. So as long as those two things are aligned and as long as you can be honest with each other and have candid conversations and work through things, you'll be right. But if those things aren't aligned and if you're kind of going in different directions, I think you're going to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, and the other thing I found with Kate's talk as well was that concept of having date time, which is the two of you, and also having me time. And really, it's often, you know, the me time that's the hardest to achieve and have balance in. So how do you find that with, you know, working with Anne and all these other things that you do?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've gotten, I guess, because of what I write about on my blog and where I've been and where I've come to, I'm very big on me time and I'm very good at getting that. It unfortunately involves getting up at 4:30 in the morning, but I do it and I love it and it makes a huge difference to me. One thing we're not good at is our time, where it's just us, you know, away from the kids doing stuff together. And I think that's why Tropical Think Tank was amazing for us was, you know, it was 8 days of just being husband and wife and not having to worry about anyone else. And so I've kind of, on coming home, like one of my goals is to have all our housework and chores and any other little things that normally, you know, get done once the kids go to bed, get them done before the kids go to bed so that once the kids do, we can just sit on the couch. Like we're big footy fans. We don't watch much TV, but we do love watching AFL 360. So that's kind of our thing. We tape AFL 360, the kids go to bed, and we sit on the couch and we watch AFL 360 together. And I know that's probably a bit lame as far as husband and wife time goes, but it's kind of, it's something simple like that makes a big difference.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not lame at all because, well, for you guys, it's a great year because Frio, you're big Frio supporters, and they're still undefeated
on
the
top. Well, I am. Ant's an Eagle supporter. Oh! So our two teams are both on top of the ladder at the moment.
Wow.
It's really bizarre.
I'd love to
I don't know. I expect my team to be there. I don't know what his team's doing there. It's really weird.
I'd love to come to your house for grand final day if they're in it together. Oh. But I think...
not pretty.
Yeah. Having a shared passion, whatever that is, I think is so great. Now, you know, for me, I really do struggle with the me time thing. You know, we've got three kids and we've got multiple businesses and we're just pulled in a million directions. So what have you got some tips for people that really, especially guys seem to find this easy? I'm generalizing, you know, some people just go motorbike riding on the weekend whenever they want.
Warren. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But for us, often the ladies, you know, we really struggle with, you know, we get guilt around having time to ourselves and things like that. So what tips do you have for all these women that are struggling in that area?
I guess what I generally pull it all back to is being your best self. And if you can't be your best self. You're not really all that great to the people who are closest to you. And I know this myself from the days where I was really struggling. I just wasn't good to anyone, you know. Okay, I was a passable mum. I was a passable wife. I was doing a fine job, but I could have just been better. And I don't want to just be an okay mum or an okay wife. I want to be good. I want to be great. So I tell people that, you know, that time is crucial to you being your best self. And when you are your best self, you're not just nice to your family, and usually they're the last people you're nice to if you think about it. So, you know, you're nice to the people you meet on the street, you're nice to the mums at school, you're nice to, you know, your staff. And the only way you can be your best self is if you are getting time in the day to breathe. So you just have to carve that time out. You have to make it important. Hopefully your partner sees it as important and will carve it out, will help you carve it out as well. And I mean, ultimately, I'm lucky my kids sleep, so I can get up at 4:30 in the morning and know that I'm going to get, you know, 2.5 hours to myself before anyone else gets up. I use that time for writing. I use that time for exercising. And then it just means I don't have to try and get time to myself for the rest of the day. I'm kind of ready to go. I know other people aren't that lucky. So it might even be like 10 minutes in the shower by yourself. It might be just a 10-minute walk around the block, or, you know, just the ability to have a coffee and read the paper in the morning. But, you know, I think a lot of people kind of hope that it will just happen for them, or they'll expect somebody else to make it happen for them. And ultimately, you just have to make it happen for yourself. You need to have a conversation with whoever can help you achieve that, whether it's a grandparent or a, you know, like as in your parents, whoever's going to be able to help you achieve it. Forget the guilt. It's a pointless emotion. And just make it happen for yourself. I know that sounds simplistic, but you kind of just have to.
And I also think, Kelly, I know Michaela was talking more, I guess, about the women out there listening and how do they actually create that me time. But I find people just don't actually allow themselves to have that. It's almost like we're in a state of, you know, we have to deny ourselves any of that if we want to get ahead in life. And to stop still for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it might be feels a little indulgent. But the reality is the opposite is true. If you take those little bits of time out, and I can't remember the episodes, but, you know, we've spoken to Michelle House and Martina Sheehan about similar things. It's really about allowing ourselves to have that and recognizing it as being a really important part of achieving our goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I get very frustrated when people see it as a luxury and as something that, you know, it'd be a nice to have. It's not a nice to have. It's crucial for your mental health. And if you know, I guess the whole thing with mental health is, you know, it's not a visible thing when it's, you know, until you're really, really quite cracked. And from someone who's been quite cracked, you just don't want to get there. So I think I just remember having a conversation with my therapist once that it frustrated me a bit about myself, that it took me, I had to run myself right into the ground before I felt justified in making the necessary changes. And I know that that is just such a common thing to do, and it's so ridiculous in hindsight. And I just, you know, I really encourage people not to run themselves into the ground before they make those changes, to kind of, don't see it as a luxury. It's a basic life skill to carve out time for yourself.
And it's a bit of an analogy, and I like to talk in analogies and stories, and Michaela loves it. But, you know, servicing your car is not a luxury. If you don't service your car, it breaks down. And if you wait until it's broken to fix it, it costs a hell of a lot more. And then sometimes it's non-fixable. And with humans, we're exactly the same. You know, we need to actually look at these maintenance programs with the time out and the physical side of things and the spiritual, emotional maintenance that we need to do to keep performing at a high level.
Oh, yeah, I love that analogy, and I'm going to steal it, actually.
Thank you. Trademark it quick.
Come on, I've got journalists. What's that thing journalists have? Integrity? Do they have any of that?
Journalistic integrity. What is it? It's steal like an artist.
Poetic license. Oh, yeah, nice, nice. So, Kelly, as well as having the dream gig as the editor for this massive community of solo entrepreneurs and micro businesses with Flying Solo, you're also a blogger of A Life Less Frantic is the name of your blog, where you share, I guess, more of your story and your book that you've written, Your Best Year Yet. How did you come to start the blog and what's that really meant to you? I know you've said you're a writer, but how did that all come about?
So it's funny. I started the blog because I wanted to be Sarah Wilson. I thought she had a really lovely personal brand and I just wanted to have one like that. And so I kind of started it when I first started, and I wanted an outlet for writing. You know, I've always been a writer. I love writing and I wanted to get back to it. And I kind of started that blog before I realized there were any other bloggers in Australia, which is a weird thing to think, but there you go.
nice to think you're the only one.
Yeah, like I'm the only one other than Sarah Wilson. But, yeah, I just wanted a place to write, and I didn't – it took me a few – you know, probably a solid year or so to kind of latch on to what I would actually write about before. I mean, I lost my whole blog earlier this year and have been slowly restoring it, but I haven't restored the very, very early post because I was so cringeworthy and so – they were just trying so hard. And the reason they were trying so hard is because I just didn't – I was completely, completely lost.
Hang on a second. So we have to go back. You lost your blog? Like, I have a blog as well, and I would cry for days if I was to lost all past writings and work. So I'd hate to think how much you lost. How old was the blog?
I started in 2010.
Oh.
So it was five – yeah. Michaela, you're going to make me feel, cry.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, okay.
I've dealt with it. But, you know, do you know what? There's this great website called web.archive.org that actually, it kind of catalogs websites, and it managed to actually save a lot of my blog posts. And I had all my blog posts saved as well. So it's just a matter of restoring them, literally blog post by blog post.
Wow.
But do you know what? It was interesting because when I first found out I'd lost it, I felt initially I was a bit numb, and then I felt really sick because I was like, wow, that is it's a, you know, it catalogued 5 years of my life, and it catalogued quite a torrid time in my life as well. So you know, it felt like, oh, I just lost a part of myself, you know, happily I found them all again. But yeah, so that was I really didn't know why I started the blog other than I just wanted somewhere to write and hopefully have people read it. But over time, what it really helped me clarify my purpose in life. And, you know, any happiness research/study will tell you that true happiness in life comes from knowing that you have a purpose on this earth. It doesn't come from, you know, and feeling connected with people. So that's what the blog has been for me. Like, yeah, a couple of years ago, I found out that my personality type, which is a INFJ, we really like helping people bring order to their lives. And that was like a big aha moment for me because I'm like, oh my God, that's what I do on my blog. You know, I just didn't realize it. I write about helping people bring order to their lives because I feel that, you know, I feel that if you feel in control of your life as much as you can be in control of your life, you know, it just allows you to be able to do more of the stuff that you love to do, more of the stuff that you're passionate about, and it just allows you to be your best self. And when we're all being our best selves, we're putting good stuff out in the world and we're helping other people be their best selves too. So I guess that's ultimately, you know, what drives my blog and what's been driving it for, you know, the last 3 or 4 years once I kind of settled on that purpose.
So the irony,
and I guess that's what's you.
Sorry, Kelly.
Sorry, you go back.
There's a bit of a lag on the call today, listeners. But the irony there, Kelly, is that profile that you just mentioned is I think it's Myers-Briggs. You're an introvert.
Yes.
And you're the editor of Australia's largest solo entrepreneur and micro business community. And you're this, you know, fantastic blogger and you've got a published book. So how do you cope with, I guess, the fame or the recognition that comes with all of that? Michaela's busting to jump in here as well.
I was going to say, and she's speaking at Pro Blogger this year, which is one of the biggest blogging conferences around, and she's doing a keynote there. So for an introvert, I can imagine that's quite difficult.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people say that to me because a lot of my friends who read my book, they're like, you know, they find it hard to reconcile, yeah, my quietness and my introversion with how much I will put myself out there via my blog and book and, you know, various writings. And I guess for me it works because there's a barrier. You know, to me, I write and then I press publish and I don't think too much about, you know, who's reading on the other end. I guess it got a little bit weird when my son started school because then mums from school were happening across my blog and I was like, wow, okay, so I'm not used to, I had this like very online world and I love the online world because it means I can dip in and out of it as my energy levels, you know, allow me to. Sometimes I've got a lot of energy for it and I'll be very present there and some days I just don't want to talk to anybody and so I just don't have to. And so that's what I really love about the online world. And I've, as far as being feeling exposed, because in my head there's this little bit of a barrier of I'm writing, someone's reading it, but I don't know who they are. And, you know, if they're taking something away from it, good. If they think something of me, well, I don't know about it, so it doesn't matter. But, yeah, when it starts crossing over into the real world, that's been a little bit weird. And that's something I'm still trying to figure out how to deal with. But, yeah, but I do love the online world because I guess I've written this on my blog before. I feel like that's where I am my best self. Like the person that I want to be is the person that I am online. And I'm very chatty and friendly and open. And I want to bring more of that into, you know, the offline world and, you know, within reason.
It's like, interesting, you know. Because when you look at what goes on social media, I know the space you're in, Kelly, is very different to that. certainly much more professional than all the things that get written in social media. But, you know, we have this whole keyboard warrior phenomenon where people have like a whole different persona sitting behind the computer screen than if they were in public. And you know, I'm not really looking to raise a specific point there other than I think with our listeners is often they get so wrapped up or they personally become so enmeshed with their business. And I had a conversation with one of my clients that I mentor this morning on just this topic where it gets hard for them to separate themselves from the business and what happens to the business almost happens to them as well. It's like somebody stabbed them in the arm, you know, something bad happens in their business. So How can people kind of create a bit more of that separation and make sure that they don't take things on board too personally?
I guess it comes back to the word failure. And I think probably the best thing I've read on the topic of failure is, you know, you are not a failure. Something that you've done might have failed, but you yourself are not a failure. And I think we have to make that distinction very clear that because, you know, we don't want to be afraid to fail. I think failing's one of the greatest things we can do because we learn so much from it. And I know you're a triathlete, Warwick, so you'll get this, but I used to be a triathlete. And, you know, if I had a race that, you know, I went well in, I didn't think too much about it. I just went, yeah, sweet, you know, that was great and I did good. And I didn't dig very deep. Whereas it's the races that really went pear-shaped that I learnt the most from and, you know.
I've had lots of those,
ultimately
Kelly.
Grew the most. So if you've learnt a lot from your race.
Oh, like yeah.
And I just think if we're never failing, we're not learning. And if we're not learning, we're not growing. So, yeah, separating out the failure, it's nothing about us as a person. We as a person are not a failure. The things that we've tried have not worked out. We've learned from them and we've moved on. And I do have a chapter about that in my book actually, which is, it's all about that. There's no such thing as failure. There's just learning and experience.
So funny you mention that because I have that chapter open in the book right in front of me. So I'm about to quote you. But it was actually one of my favourite chapters in the book, which is Your Best Year Yet, 7 Simple Ways to Shift Your Thinking and Take Charge of Your Life. And it's a great, easy read, but with so much value and content in it. And one thing I love, because, you know, facing your fears has been a big thing for me in the last 12 months. And it's, I love where you say we need to start thinking what's the best that can happen instead of, you know, thinking what's the worst that can happen. And I just want to share this quote, you know, it's time to achieve your wobbly courage because nothing ruins a good year more than letting fear rule your life. And I really believe a lot of people, whether personally or professionally, you know, they don't get to where they want to be purely because of fear, you know, worrying about if they do fail, what that means or what other people think.
Like,
so
what if?
Yeah. So how about we think about what the best thing can happen and see where it can go from there?
I think that's such a powerful thing, because we do spend a lot of time when we're assessing whether something might work or not. We do spend a lot of time thinking, all right, how can this go wrong and how will I feel when it goes wrong and, oh, gosh, you know, can I handle that thing happening? Instead of thinking what could go right, you know, and – you know, I sent out an email earlier this week and I was talking about, you know, being able to speak at ProBlogger this year. And, you know, I went to my first ProBlogger in 2010, I think, or 2011. Anyway, I decided that I wanted to, you know, be a speaker at ProBlogger, like how, you know, how full of myself am I? But So the very next year, I started putting in a speaker submission, and I have put in a speaker submission for the last 4 years for ProBlogger, and finally this year, I got a yes. But, you know, I don't think I would have got that yes this year had it not been for those 4 no's, because I learnt from the 4 no's. I learnt how to tailor my pitch. I learnt how to look at what talks had been given before and come up with one that hadn't been given on a topic that hasn't been touched on and give that topic a bit of a, you know, a bit of a fresh look as well. So, you know, if, you know, and it's not fun being rejected. It's not fun having that email come back going, you know, thank you for your submission, but unfortunately, you know, we won't be able to use you this year. And it's hard not to sit there and go, oh, God, I feel like such an idiot. I can't believe I put in that submission. They must be looking at it going, what was she thinking? Like, as if we would have her speak, you know. You just can't think like that, even though it's very natural. You just got to just do it and know that every single no leads you closer to a yes, basically.
And it's we could talk about it for hours, some of the things that I guess I like to say to people is, so what? So what? You didn't get in this year. Big deal. You didn't die.
Exactly.
You know, nothing physically bad is going to happen to you if you put yourself out there in business or make a bad decision. Yeah, you can lose money, but you know, that sort of stuff you can recover from. It's not like jumping off a mountain with a wingsuit and having a crack at base jumping for the first time. You know, you should really be shit scared about that.
Yeah.
But
yes,
you know,
definitely.
Having a crack at a marketing strategy or doing some YouTube videos or whatever it might be. What's the worst that can happen? So I love that that take on that as well, Kelly.
Definitely. And I think one of my favorite things I wrote in the book was along the terms of, you know, one of the biggest things that hold us back is the thought of what will other people think. So often we go to do something and then we won't do it because we think, oh, what will other people think? Will they think I'm a bit full of myself? Will they think, you know, I shouldn't be trying this? Will they think, oh my God, she's a bad mother? Like, and so if you can take out that whole what will other people think out of your vocabulary and out of your mindset, gosh, you know, the sky is the absolute limit for what you can and will achieve.
Yeah, and personally for me, the biggest thing and change I made in the last 12 months was purely that. I actually stopped caring what other people thought, and I'm just going to do my thing, you know. And so I guarantee you right now that this podcast wouldn't be happening unless I changed that mindset. In that way that I really actually stop caring what people are going to say. You either, you know, enjoy it or don't listen. You find it valuable or you don't find it valuable.
Yeah.
And if you don't listen, don't read the book, don't read the blog, don't watch that TV show, whatever. And I think we get so caught up in what other people are going to think and worry about what I'm going to wear today and, you know, what if somebody, you know, whatever. We waste so much time and energy on this stuff and it doesn't matter.
Oh, it's the energy. It's such a pointless waste of energy thinking those thoughts, isn't it? And when you think, oh, what I could put that energy towards if I wasn't thinking that way,
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And so Warwick would never have met me if I didn't start thinking that. So.
And I wouldn't have been wearing this shirt today either.
So that's great. So the other great thing that you're doing is editor of Flying Solo, which we've touched on. And tell us a little bit about the community, because this is an amazing online community of Australian small businesses. And so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're now at 77,000 plus members in our online community. So, and the bulk of those, and we've got 25,000 members of followers on Facebook, but really the strength of our community is obviously those 77,000 members on the website, in our forums, who are just, you know, they're there to help. It's, you know, it's people who are in the same boat as you and me. We're all small business owners. We all have the same problems. We all have cash flow issues. We all want to spend more time working on the business rather than in the business. We all want to know how to get, you know, better, more qualified leads and new clients. So it's a bunch of people who think the same as you because they have an entrepreneurial mindset, whether, you know, a lot of small business owners kind of reject that. They think, oh, I'm not an entrepreneur, but you are. We all are. We really all want the lifestyle that comes with it. We want that flexibility. We want that time with our kids that you can't get if you're in a salaried, you know, 9-to-5 job. So we all want the same things. We all have the same problems. And that's what's beautiful about that community is that everyone's been there. So if you're looking for that support, or if you're looking for a bit of advice, or if you've just, you know, you've just experienced a weird client email, you can go in, you can share, and there are going to be people there going, yep, we totally get it. And I think that's the strength of the community is, you know, because, you know, for the most part, it's people who are working by themselves. They, you know, they're not in an office. They don't have that water cooler type thing where they can just chat with people or vent or rant or celebrate successes. So that's what the online community provides for soloists all over Australia, and we're very proud of it, and it's just a fantastic bunch of people.
It's such an important part of business, particularly small business, that I think is missing. And you talk about this a little bit in your book as well, Kelly, but being connected to other humans is really valuable. Yes. Because I think especially in small business, and obviously the Flying Solo community is very well represented there, is we become very isolated and cut off, not so much physically, but I think on a day-to-day basis, we're just so engrossed in everything that we're doing in our lives that we don't take that time out that we spoke about earlier in the interview to not only have time for ourselves, but make the time to connect with other people and just get feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I mean, I guess this is what Michaela and I found out when we probably knew it already when we went to Tropical Think Tank, but it's the connections that we have made. You know, there are 50 people there. We're in a Facebook group with them. We, again, all have the same problems. We're all trying out things, and just having that, you know, the connectedness with people who just get it, who just get what you're doing and why you're doing it and where you've been and where you want to go, and not having to explain it to them, they just get it, is so, so valuable. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I found that was the great thing about that trip as well, is just being with your peeps that understand you a little bit. And because I work from home most of the time and I don't have that water cooler stuff anyway, I just love being around, you know, similar entrepreneurs, and it really did build me up. And I'm a member of the Flying Solo community, have been for quite a few years, and I found that, you know, the forum's great, as well as all the articles and everything else, and I know it's got a podcast as well. So it's just a really great community for knowledge, or if you want to know anything, get recommendations for people. So you've really done a great job driving it, and I think it's such a valuable resource.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Michaela. Appreciate that.
And I just wanted to mention there too, there's a great book. You know, you're talking about being part of community and Facebook groups and all that sort of stuff. I loved, although it's not exactly about that, but Seth Godin's book, Tribes. It's the same with customers, you know, is we can use the power of community in so many different ways, whether it's to help ourselves in our business, or, you know, with the way we parent our kids, or, you know, helping our customers feel like they belong. But we are a tribal race, you know. We used to actually hang out in groups, and now we've got all this amazing technology which makes us more productive and apparently more connected. and yet we're more cut off than ever before.
So that's it. And I think that's what we have to be careful to do. We have to be use that technology to be connected. We can use it to be very disconnected. We can use it to be covetous and, you know, jealous of what other people are achieving, and we forget that people are generally only showing the highlight reel of their life. And we can choose to use it for that, or we can choose to use it, you know, for good, you know, to be connected to people out there. And, you know, humans are viscerally, we need to feel connected in order to be happy. It's one of those things we need. So yeah, use those online communities, find your tribe, as, you know, as Seth Godin wrote in his book, which he wrote, gosh, so many years ago. I just wondered if he envisioned what was happening now when he wrote that book. It kind of blows my mind a little bit. He's so ahead of his time.
Yeah. We're going to get Seth on the show one day. I know Timbo Reid has not had any luck with that. But I'm going to jump in here, Kelly, and please forgive my poetic license here, but it is our show. I'm going to actually talk about, for our listeners, Michaela and I have created a community for tradies in the Tradies Business Toolkit, obviously through the show. You know, we've got the Facebook page and everything, but we've got a members area for people, tradiesbusinesstoolkit.com. We have some fantastic discussions that take place inside our private Facebook group where people have a bit of safety, talking about specifics in their business with people from other states in Australia and completely different industries. And it's really cool to see that stuff going on and just the outcomes off the back of just those simple conversations that strangers are having.
Oh, I think that's so awesome. I think it's so valuable to be able to connect with. And what I love about it is when people are so generous with their knowledge and they don't hold it close to their chest. They go, look, I've experienced that too, and here's how, you know, here's how I dealt with it. Yeah, I think I love this, the way the world is now. That we've got an article coming out on the site next week from Dan Norris about the generosity economy and how generosity does scale. And yeah, I love seeing things like that, you know, groups like you guys have set up where people are very generous with their knowledge and, you know, they don't hold their cards close to their chest. They put everything out there to the good of everyone. So yeah, that's awesome.
And so you'd have a unique perspective having 77,000 members in the small business community. What do you think are some of the, I guess, mistakes or challenges that you see that small business owners are making that really is probably holding them back from where they want to get to? Do you see some common themes that seem to happen in the community?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned before, cash flow is always the number one thing that everybody has a problem with, and it is the number one thing holding them back from growing their business. Because when you're in a poor cash flow position, you tend to make scarcity-based, fear-based decisions. You can't see, you know, you can't think big because you're just in this day-to-day drama of how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay my suppliers? And everyone wants the easy answer for something like cash flow, and there isn't one. As much as it is, you've got to invoice regularly and you've got to chase up those invoices, or you've got to get payment in advance, things like that. So cash flow seems to be a really big one that holds a lot of people back. And I guess the other one is finding customers. And really, in this, you know, we've spoken about the connection thing, and everything that's good that's happened to me in blogging and writing and in business in the last 4 or 5 years has come through the people I know as opposed to what I know. And of course, being an introvert, I don't go the networking things. I don't press the flesh. I just don't do stuff like that. And it was always a bit of a problem. Like, well, how am I going to get connected? How am I going to meet people that I can help and that they can help me grow my business? And this is such a unique world we live in that someone like me, who is not just introverted but also incredibly shy, can get online, make really genuine relationships with people, meet people and build genuine relationships with them, and then reap the benefit of those, you know, relationships. Yeah, I wouldn't have the flying solo job had I not gotten online and got to know people. yeah, there's so much positive stuff that's come my way. So I think a lot of people are still stuck in that whole, I've got to go to a networking, you know, thing, and or a BNI, and I've got to, they're going to refer people to me, but only if I refer people to them. And it's such a contrived way of doing things. Whereas being in this online world, I know, Michaela, I know you're keen to get your Get Tradies blogging, because it's such a such an opportunity. No one's doing it. So if someone does it and they do it well, you know, gosh, they're going to kill it, because it's such an amazing way of showing your expertise, creating goodwill, connecting with people in a meaningful way. And then you don't have to do anything, because people are just going to come to you. I know our Swish Design blog generates a huge amount of goodwill and a huge amount of Google traffic for us, and we don't currently have to go looking for work because it all comes to us. So there's this opportunity here in this world that we live in that a lot of people just aren't taking advantage of, and they are stuck in that kind of old school mindset of, you know, that whole networking kind of thing, which makes me, you know, gives me hives a bit, I have to admit.
And look, we do talk on the show a lot about blogging and content marketing in this space particularly, yeah, because we find that trades are the perfect industry. They have so much valuable knowledge they can share, and no one is doing it. And so even if they just, you know, had a regular blog, it would do so much for their business as far as, like you said, with Google, goodwill, you know, showing their authority and leadership in their areas. And all of a sudden they'll become the local go-to person. And, you know, they can, you know, speak out a blog, or, you know, and get it transcribed. Or they can get their smartphone out on the job site and quickly film them doing something or explaining why. And that can be uploaded in 5 minutes. It's so easy for them now, and it's cheap. And it's just a matter of them starting to do it and, you know, can really make them the authority.
Yeah,
and go
just
to
do a couple.
Yep, that's, it's really...
I was going to say, you know, in the tradie world, like, it's so competitive. Like, you know, I type in plumbers Perth and it's going to bring me up, you know, 15 plumbers. And how do I choose which one I go to, you know? So I do go a little bit like by their website. Is their website nice? Is there a photo of them on their website? But God, you know, if they actually have a blog on their site and I get to see the actual personality or the person that sits behind this business, I am 100% going with them over anybody else every single time, you know, without a doubt. And we actually have painters and finance guys who have started blogging, and they have had people say to them, you know, we went with you because of your blog, you know. So, yeah, but no one's doing it. So yeah, it's just such an opportunity.
Our poor listeners hear me get sick of me banging on about it. I'm so glad someone else did for a change.
Back Michaela up, people. Like, back her up. Do it, do it, do it.
Prove me right, because we all know I am. So.
Moving on. look, I'm just going to chuck an anecdote in there for all the men out there feeling a little bit beaten down at the moment by Michaela's proving her right thing. But I know I see with my clients, because I bang on about it as well, and particularly I find a lot of the blokes actually more unwilling or less willing, whatever the right way is to say that, to put themselves out there, whether it's via the YouTube video or the blog or whatever. I think sometimes it goes back to that whole identity thing, is if they put themselves out there and people don't like it, what does that actually say about them? Which goes back to what we were saying about, you know, what other people think of me is none of my business. But it's almost like, oh, I don't want to put stuff out there because it might look stupid or people will laugh at me or whatever. So I find a lot of blokes actually struggle with that.
Do you know what it is, Warwick?
Yeah.
Do you know, it's a vulnerability thing.
Yep.
So women are very good at making themselves vulnerable. We do it every day. We connect with, you know, we can meet someone completely new, another female, and get, you know, and within 10 minutes we're having a really deep and meaningful conversation with them. And if you're having a deep and meaningful conversation with someone, you're making yourself very vulnerable because you're sharing things that are very deeply personal. Guys aren't as good at that, and so, you know, and that's why they're reluctant to put themselves out there as much, because it is a vulnerability thing. You are putting yourself out for, effectively, for judgment, if you want to look at it that way. So they're not as well trained in it, because women have been doing it their whole lives, men less so. But if you, and this is something I will be speaking about at ProBlogger, that if you are willing to make yourself vulnerable, the connections that you make are going to be so amazing, you kick yourself that you've not been doing it sooner, basically. It just takes, you know, it takes a bit of courage to do it first, but again, what's the best that can happen? Amazing things that can happen. So give it a go, and then the more, you know, the more good stuff that comes your way from doing it, the, you know, the easier it gets, I promise.
Well, I have to say, Kelly, that you've really touched a nerve with me as well. I'm standing here in our studio recording a podcast, and it's actually, I've gone through some mental gymnastics to get my head around the number of people that listen to me every week in all sorts of countries and that are recognizing me. And I actually have had to really, I guess, as a bloke, come to terms with that. You know, people are getting to know about me. I mean, everybody now knows that I cried when I watched the movie The Notebook.
Because, Kelly, at the top of the show, we ask each other a silly question. So, you know, our listeners get to know us a little bit better.
That was Michaela's idea, by the way.
Yeah, and so we've actually shown a lot of vulnerability lately over these episodes.
Well done, as you should.
Yeah, one of which was I said to Warwick, had he ever cried in a movie, thinking he'd say no and show his manhood.
I was being honest.
And
come
he said
on.
Yes, The Notebook. So he's not lived that down yet.
I don't think I ever will. So, Kelly, one of the questions we love to ask our guests when they do come on the show, and I think you'll find this pretty tough, but if you had 1,000 tradies in the room, or maybe we should say 77,000 tradies in a room, what's one thing you would love to give them in terms of advice or just a tip or something to share with them?
Oh, gosh. One piece of advice. I find it hard to not come back to just the whole connection thing and the whole put yourself out there. Don't hold knowledge close to your chest. You know so much. You know so much more than you think, and people will be so grateful to you for sharing that knowledge in your head. And if you're able to share that knowledge in your head and create the connections that come from being generous and sharing that knowledge, the sky is absolutely the limit, and opportunities will open up for you that you never even imagined.
That's great advice.
Great advice, Kelly. Thank you. Well done. Well done.
You passed.
Not bad for off the cuff. Thanks for that. You promised no off the cuff questions.
Well, we never tell our listeners that. We never tell our guests that because we like to keep it spontaneous. Who knows what's going to happen here on the trade.
The truth is we don't actually do any planning. So there you go. So, Kelly, if our listeners do want to find out a bit more about you and perhaps your blog, what's the best way for them to do that?
So the best way is to go to kellyexeter, exeter.com.au. So that's my blog, and that's also a good jumping off point for pretty much everything that I do and everywhere that I am. But do come also to flyingsolo.com.au. Join up to the free community online. Avail yourself of all the amazing brains that are inside that community. That's it.
Great. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time today. It was a great episode, and I'm certainly going to take a lot away from today, and I think I'm going to do some more me-timing stuff. That's it. I'm doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Big time on the me-time.
Yeah. Thanks, Kelly.
Great stuff. Thanks, Kelly.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much. See ya.
Got a question you want answered on the show? Go to tradiesbusinessshow.com.
So there you go. That was our interview with Kelly Exeter from A Life Less Frantic, also the editor of Flying Solo. 77,000. That's mind-boggling stuff. Solo entrepreneurs and micro business owners.
Wow, what a job checking all the grammars and comma places for all the articles.
You wouldn't want to
readers.
Get it wrong, would you? You get some pretty good feedback.
Yeah, I reckon.
But,
so.
I did. That blew me away when she said she lost her whole blog.
Oh,
5 years of work.
Oh, just.
Anyway, so really quickly, for Tradies Business Toolkit members, you've already got access to the extended interview that we did with Kelly. So she actually runs through her 7 antidotes for some of the, limiting thoughts or behaviors that stop you having your best year every year. So that's at tradiesbusinesstoolkit.com. If you're not already a member, go and hit the webpage, join up. It's $1 for 30 days. You can get access to that extended interview and start implementing those things in your business.
Yeah, and if you get in this month, it'll only be $10 ongoing. After July 1, it's going up.
Mm-hmm. So jump on board now.
And also jump on board face-to-face www.facetofacetraining.edu.au, which is our show supporters, face-to-face training. So if you want to upskill your staff and have the government pay for it, insert terms and conditions here, make sure you have a chat with them and they'll give you some nice incentives to do so.
Yep.
And you'll look good.
Yeah, and your staff will love you.
That's right.
And you'll get more work.
Till next time.
Hooray.
You've been listening to The Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.